there's like a lengthy introduction. We've been studying the exodus of the Jews from Egypt for the last 2.5 months almost. So we've read the entire book of Exodus. We have, some of us have read the Numbers. Some of us have read Deuteronomy. And so we wanted to kind of journey with the Hebrews with the hope that you can learn things about the Old Covenant, because the New Covenant kind of was, Old Covenant was a half cup, the New Covenant was the full cup. Jesus came to fulfill, so which can be interpreted as some of the prophecies that was spoken about him will come true, but also taking the half commandments and turn them into full, right? We use some of the examples of Jesus. It says, it's said, do not murder, but I say to you, don't get angry. It says, do not commit adultery. I tell you, do not look at a woman lustfully. It says, you're allowed to divorce under Moses, but you cannot do that in the New Covenant unless there's an adultery. So Jesus comes in and takes that half cup. And one of you guys can ask the question, why were they given a half cup? Later on, Jesus says it. Moses gave you this law because your hearts were hard. So he lowered the bar for the Hebrews with the hope that maybe they can obey them, but they couldn't even do that. So that's why it was, since the Old Covenant was broken, God says that. So one side of the parties break the covenant and agreement, the other parties free to move on, in this case God, because the Israelites and the Hebrews were unfaithful to the covenant. So God makes a new covenant. So Jesus comes in. So, but we wanted to learn from all the things that Moses and Israelites and the wilderness and the character of God through all of these. And it's an eye opener. I mean, I read the book of Exodus, I don't know, many times, and Numbers or Deuteronomy or many times. There are many things that I've never seen in this reading, and that's the beautiful thing about the Word of God, is that there are just layers of wisdom, and as you journey with God, God kind of opens your eyes to more and more stuff. But today's subject, again, there's like 10 videos prior to it about the exodus of Hebrews from slavery, so this is like building on it. Last Wednesday, some of the people that were in our Bible study group we talked about Deuteronomy and 6, where Moses gives them the great commandment, so which we're going to read in a second, but our fellowship in Summit already read this. We discussed it a little bit. We're going to build up on it today, but I wanted to start with this thought. So I'll start with this very verse, and then we'll just kind of go into Moses. So this is Luke 11, verse 42. And again, I see you guys taking notes. I generally send this slides to people afterwards. So if you guys want to get the slides in a PDF, I'll send it to everyone, or I'll send it to your father. He can send it to anybody who wants to. So, but this is the first scripture we're going to look at. It's in Luke 11, verse 42. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. And then in Matthew, he says something similar. Woe to you, this is 23, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. What is Jesus saying? It's like, you're like focused on the, you know, hey, I grew some mint over here, and dill and cumin. You guys know some of those spices? So I grew up a little bit of mint and a little dill and a little cumin in my backyard. I want to be careful that I give 10% of it to God. So I'm focused on that. Think about how much cumin I'm going to use in a given year that I grew, how much mint or dill I'm going to grow in a given year to flavor my meal. I'm so concerned, I want to give my 10% to it, but they're forgetting the bigger subjects. He calls it neglected the more important matters of the law. And one of the other translators, the heavier matters of the law. So clearly, certain things are more important in the Bible than other things. There are more, Jesus used the word important matters of the law, or the heavier things, weightier things of the law. What is the weightier things of the law? To love the Lord your God. And how could anybody do this? The other underlying green on the bottom, 24. You strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Can you visualize this in your head? So you have a little drain in your mouth, like a little filter. You want to make sure that you're not swallowing a gnat, but somehow you're swallowing a whole camel. How is that possible? He calls them? They're so off. They're majoring on the minors. And they're wasting their time. I'm not saying wasting. It says you got to do those other stuff, but understand that there are certain things that are more important, weightier. And with all that, we're going to start our reading today, just catapulting into this whole subject of loving God. This is Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. These are the commandments, decrees, and laws the Lord your God direct me to teach you, to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you and your children and grandchildren after them may fear the Lord your God, as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk about when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So Moses is commanding the Hebrews to love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, and soul, and strength. They are to fear and obey him. They are to teach their children and their grandchildren about it. that the words of God should be on their hearts, right? In verse 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. So you're going to say, the Wednesday church had the opportunity to kind of have a meditate, you know, we meditated a little longer than you guys are in person here. But I'm going to circle this. We talked about how Moses is expecting the Israelites to follow all of his decrees and commandments. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. So this is the first time Moses is telling the Israelites to love the Lord their God in Deuteronomy. Then Deuteronomy 10, 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So he's telling them a second time to love God. It says in Deuteronomy 11, 1, love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commandments always. Reminding them again to love the Lord. In Deuteronomy 11:13. So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. I'm just going to continue to circle. Deuteronomy 11:22. Be careful. If you carefully observe all these commands that I'm giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to hold fast to him. Again, telling them again, to love the Lord God. Deuteronomy 13:3, the Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. In case they didn't hear it, first time, the second time, the third time, the fifth time, he's just drilling again and again in his speech to the Israelites, Deuteronomy 19:9, because you carefully follow all these laws I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk always in obedience to him. Deuteronomy 30, this is the eighth time Moses is saying to them to love the Lord their God. Verse 6, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and live. Deuteronomy 30:16, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws, then you will live and increase. In Deuteronomy 30:19, I've set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. So what is Moses telling the Israelites? In case they missed it the second time. And when we were talking about this last Wednesday with the summit group, one of the questions somebody asked, how does this look like? How do we do this? And I thought to myself, wow, how do you even answer a question? How do you love God with all your heart? How does this look like? If somebody was to actually practice this, what would this look like? And guess what? If Moses is the one is telling the Hebrews to do this, to love God with all their heart, to obey him and to fear him, how did he do it? What was the example that he gave them? If he didn't do it, then there's no example of what it means to love God and what it looks like. But if we have an example in Moses, so I thought to myself, you know what? Let's look at how Moses did it. So that we have an example. I mean, the Bible is full of characters that love God, and we can take this Bible study in any which way we like. But since Moses is the one who's drilling this concept before he departs from the Israelites, I just thought, let's talk about how Moses did it, and how do we do this? How do we love God? Right? That is the commandment that Moses is giving to the Hebrews, and later on, Jesus says this is the important matter. To love God is the important matter. Major in what is important. So I just thought three ways we could do this. And we're going to explore three points. So number one, spending time with God. We're going to talk about it, how he did it. This is how we get to know him. So you want to know God? This is how you're going to get to know God. You want to spend time with him. And we're going to talk about that. That's our first point. Number two, having his heart. What does that mean, to have God's heart? Love what he loves, hate what he hates. Sharing his emotions. Number three, living an obedient life. You cannot, the Bible does talk about it, that whoever loves God must obey God. So it's not like you can detach that from it. But I'm very convinced that number two and number three rest on number one. The man that doesn't practice the number one have no chance of doing the number two and number three. Or that the man that does number one is more likely to succeed with the rest of it. So Let's talk about the first point, spending time with God. This is how we get to know him. How did Moses spend time with God? We're just going to read a bunch of scriptures which are familiar. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, but this is the first point, is what we're going to spend most of our time this morning. Spending time with God. You want to love God? You have to spend time with him. You have to get to know him. So this is the first time that we know of Moses introduced to God. So it's like the, you know, yesterday I came to your luncheon and I was introduced to a number of people. This is like an introduction. It's like the first time Moses meeting God. This is Exodus 3, verse 1 through 12. I'm going to read it quickly. A few points, move on. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that through the bush, though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer. God said, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the Lord of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way of the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, and I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I'll be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you'll worship God on this mountain. This is the introduction. It's like the first meeting, God and Moses. God says, I am the Father, I am the God of your fathers. I've heard the misery of my people, the Hebrews, which is kin of Moses, and I will rescue them. You see how Moses is becoming familiar with God now, how God starts to feel about certain matters. See, because he's spending time with God in the mountain where the bush is, he's now getting to know who God is. He's getting to know what he's thinking, how he's feeling, what he's planning to do, how he's planning to do. And eventually Moses will come back to the mountain to worship him again. But like, this is the introduction. This is their first meeting. This is Exodus 24, verse 15. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. And Moses entered the cloud as he went up to the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. So from chapter 3 to chapter 24 of Exodus, there's a whole story of God going into, Moses going into Egypt, talking to Pharaoh, the first calamity, the second calamity, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seven, eight, nine, and the final one is the tenth one. The tenth one is the how God kills the firstborn of the Egyptians. So not only Moses sees the power of God, why did God kill the firstborn of the Egyptians? Because the Pharaoh killed all the children of the Hebrews. He was leveling the scales of justice. He was paying them back. Pharaoh killed the children of Hebrews, the males. God was paying them back. He was leveling the ground for the Hebrews. As they were leaving, they could see that God is a God of justice. So it's not like just the power that he was showing, not that he was just showing his concern for them, but also the justice and many other things. I mean, they're all like scattered throughout the Bible. If you just read the book in Travel with Moses, you would see that they're having all these dialogues, not monologues. And God reveals himself to the Hebrews along with Moses. How do you get to know God? You got to spend time with him. What is he doing in this one? He's spending 40 days and 40 nights. Somebody will say, how long should I spend with God on a daily basis? What is my answer, do you think? Well, the question is, how close do you want to be to God? Really? How close do you want to be to God? How much time do you want to spend with God? If you're hungry and thirsty for him, you're going to spend more. If you're not interested, you're not going to spend any. That's your spectrum. Is there a rule? Absolutely not. But you have to spend time with God. So you can read the Bible and not spend time with God, but you have to spend time with God. And it's going to be happening through you reading and praying. Reading the scripture so that God can reveal his character to you, like he's doing to Moses. Exodus 33, verse 7 till 11. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord will go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down, stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord will speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And Moses will return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. So how would you love God? Spend time with him. How did Moses do it? He spent time with God. How intimate were they? They were face to face. Exodus 34, 28 till 30. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread. This is the second time, by the way, because on 24, he does 40 days and 40 nights. This is the second time he's going up there without eating bread or drinking water. He wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. When Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. Deuteronomy 34:10, since then no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to this whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. So he was spending time with God, and what was the result? His face was like radiant. Can you tell if somebody has spent time with God? Are they glowing? Are they shining? Do you desire a relationship like that? Do you want to be close to God? The goal is to love God. How does one love God? You can teach somebody. Early on, the Deuteronomy 6 talks about teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. You can teach the scriptures to people, but how do you make them love God? Can we make them love God? Just because you know about something doesn't mean you love him. So how does that work? Person needs to have his own will. They need to draw near to God. They need to want to sit face to face so that they can also reflect God's glory, his brightness, his presence. So this is the introduction in Exodus 3, where God meets Moses. This is the death of Moses. He dies. Everything between, you can read it in the books. Verse 1, this is, actually I didn't put the scripture, but this is Deuteronomy 34, I believe. Verse 1. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Bishah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as Mediterranean Sea, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over to it, into it. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses has laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. I'll stop there. But let's talk about this part of the, this is like the death of Moses. So first of all, God takes him to this mountain and he can have a supervision. You know, we can see maybe, I don't know, 25 miles. What is the maximum we can see in a clear day? Do you guys know? That whatever the vision that he has exceeds, in my opinion, he can see the Mediterranean from all the way from Jordan. That's more than 25 miles. He can see the south, the north. Dan is all the way by Lebanon. You cannot see it that far in a clear day. So God opens his eyes. Perfectly clear day, so he can have a vision of what's going on in the territory that he sees. And he dies, and God buries him. Why does God bury Moses? When did God bury anybody in the Bible? This was his friend. God himself is burying Moses. I don't know if you see how intimate this relationship became. Not only God spoke to him face to face, but they loved each other. And then, to this day, no one knows where the grave is. Why? Why do you think God make him go up to the mountain, he dies, God buries him, and that no Israelites know the grave. Why? Why would it? What would happen if they knew where the grave was? Why did God keep the grave secret? The Israelites will go probably worship where he was buried. But why would they worship him? He climbed up with God so high, they just marveled at Moses. They were marveled with Moses. And he became such a father to the Hebrews. God wanted to destroy the Hebrews multiple times. What did Moses do? Said, please don't do it. Like a father defending his child. Please don't do it. Many times he led them. Many times he was like a father to them. But do you see the carnality? This invitation of Moses loving God was open to every one of them. It wasn't just Moses wasn't any special person. This invitation to love God and to walk with God and to seek his presence and to climb up higher into his presence is open to every one of us. relationship where you become a friend of God, he talks to you face to face, is open to every one of us, if you desire it. How did Moses love God? First point was spending time with God. You have to spend time with him. I'm telling you, the more time you spend, the more you will get to know God, the more you understand his nature, the more you will love him. Show me a man that doesn't read the scriptures, I guarantee you they're not going to know the Father. You can read the Bible and not go know God. A lot of people just go to universities and read the Bible until Jesus comes back, and they don't know anything about the nature of God. So reading it is not going to necessarily automatically give it to you, but you cannot have it without it. And how did having God's heart, how do you get God's heart? Sharing his emotions. Again, this is our second and third point. I'm not going to talk too much because I think it just starts with the number one. You spend time with God. I think two and three will fall into their places. Mm-hmm. This is Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. I've seen these people. So this is the story of the calf. Moses goes up to the mountain. Aaron takes the gold, turns into a calf. The Israelites are worshiping. He comes down. This is Deuteronomy 32:9. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. God is upset, right? Why is he upset? Only some time ago, God told them not to make a graven image, bow down to it. Israelites, within months, are doing exactly what he told them. Within months, even maybe weeks, they're ignoring what God told them, the Ten Commandments. He spoke to them from the mountain in a loud voice, and everyone could hear it, yet only sometime later, they're already disobeying the very first commandment, or the second one. So, this is Deuteronomy 32, verse 19. When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hand, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf the people had made and burned it in fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered on the water, made the Israelites drink it. I don't know if you see how God's anger transferred into Moses' anger. So Moses is now reflecting how God is feeling. The more we spend time with God, the more likely we will have his heart. You guys remember what God said about David, the king? A man after my own heart. What does it mean to be a man after God's own heart? He knows what I'm thinking. He knows how I'm feeling. He was transformed into this person where he has God's emotions. And we already read this when God meets Moses for the first time at the bush. God is expressing how he's feeling about the Hebrews. Verse 7, the Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out. I'm concerned about their suffering. I have come to rescue. And now the cry of the Israelite has reached me because I see the oppression that they're under. So Moses sees God's heart, even though he's hesitant to go to Pharaoh, he's afraid to go to Pharaoh. He loves what God loves. His heart is becoming Moses' heart. Living an obedient life, this is my third point. So if you start with getting to know God, spending time with God, loving the word of God, where God reveals himself to you, can't just love God and not obey him. You are to keep all his decrees and commandments. We have to fear the Lord our God. Be careful to obey. This is 2 Corinthians. We're almost coming to a close here. Chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So the man that spends time with God starts to reflect God's glory. You heard me say sometimes that moon doesn't have its own light. It has to see the sun. It only reflects some light. Otherwise, the moon is dark. So without spending time with God face to face, you really are not going to reflect anything. And that's the first thing. The second one is being transformed into his image. You will never transform into his image. You really need to be there, sitting there face to face. Not only you're reflecting his glory, but you're being transformed into his image. You're becoming like him. You're becoming more pure, more loving, more obedient, more fearful of him and the judgment. You're more concerned about all of his commandments. You're concerned about what really the weightier matters of the law. Because God is giving you wisdom to know what they are. And I put the number three with the green, ever-increasing glory. You know what's happening? What did happen to Moses when he was spending this kind of time with God? He was having his heart. He was obedient to God. What was happening to him? He was being glorified. God was raising him up in front of the Israelites. We're glorified because he glorifies us. If we walk this walk, if we love the Lord, if we care what he cares and love what he loves and hate what he hates, if we can obey him and fear him, in conclusion, how do we love God? Moses says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Teach them to your children, to your children's children, grandchildren. Impress them diligently. It starts with the number one. You get to know God in the scriptures. You're in it. How often? As often as you want. Day and night. How much time you should spend? As close as you want to get to the Father. The hungrier you are to know him. Then he can show you how he feels about certain things. How he feels about certain matters. That he will help you through the Holy Spirit to bear fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, and all the other fruits that start bearing fruit in you. And they see that you're reflecting God's glory, that you're being transformed into his image. And they think that you're somebody now because he's glorifying you.